Lord, we thank you for this morning. We can just come together and just worship you. And I just pray, God, you'd speak to us as we open the word. You open each heart to receive and just anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak words of the Spirit, God. So we give it all to you. And I, too, lift up, you know, all the kids in the youth retreat, winter retreat, and I pray you touch them. They go well. And Lord, I just pray your hand over them. Give them safety. So, Lord, now just open your word. Give us wisdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Ah, nice title. Everybody said, oh, that's, I can take a breath now. Grace. Grace. We're going to start off. Look at James chapter 4, verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. Now, as we look at this verse, and it's a standalone. We could just, you know, take it and just preach off of it. But think about the context. We've been months in James, and there are some difficult subjects in James. There are difficult statements in James. And so as we walk through that, well, this is in context of all those difficult statements, okay? This kind of gives an understanding of, you know, how to deal with all these difficult statements, have an understanding of these difficult statements. So that it's for the book of James, for the book of James, it is certainly insightful. Certainly insightful. It is also insightful for the entire Bible, okay? But it's really insightful for James. And so is in God's wisdom, when I look at like a book and James, he flows it and he put it together for a reason. The how he put it together is for a reason. So we're looking at it now for a reason. For a reason, all right? Now, and the thing about it is, when you look at this, this is really, really an earth-shattering truth. I mean, earth-shattering truth. And we really need to pay close attention to it, very close attention to it. And so we see here, not only does God give us grace, but he can also give us more grace. Okay, I got grace. Well, you can have more grace. Well, if we ought to know what it's about and something, well, how do I get more grace? He saved us through grace, you know. He said, well, yeah, now you're right set to get more grace. And so it's a powerful section. So because of that, it's really important to understand the biblical meaning of grace. What does it mean? Now, the original Greek, you have it, so grace used here is the English translation of it, okay? So, and it's a good translation, but it doesn't project the fullness of the depth and the power of what this word is actually saying. So what we see here, one of the first things we need to understand, really have to understand, that biblical grace is not just favor. It's not it. It's not just favor. A lot of people say, well, that's just God's favor. It's part of it, but it's not it. It doesn't even totally touch the whole meaning of what grace is. So what I want to do, I'm going to read to you the Strong's Concordance definition of grace. Okay? Here's the definition of grace, the Strong's Concordance. You ready? Grace, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's life. That's grace. Read it again. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's life. There's evidence of grace. It's grace. Grace is powerful. In short, grace is favor and power from God. You got that? its favor and power from God. If we don't include power from God in the definition of grace, grace is just fluff for overlooking sin. Should I read that again? If we leave out power, the power from grace, grace is fluff. It's just fluff that overlooks sin. It'll be sin. God, I'll just overlook it. You know, that's what many times it's translated. You put power in there and it's like you're saved by grace, favor, fluff. But you're saved by grace, by power. By power. There's a power in grace, in biblical grace. Now I want to give you here. Now I'm going to put emphasis. You know, these are one of the things. And I joke, and I joke for a reason. I'm trying to make a point. I don't want you to forget it. But this is one of the points, and I have Rich jump up and do a drum roll, you know, and I do a dance or something so you won't forget this. Just, you know, I don't know what to do. You ever been teaching, you know, a classroom of kids? I want to do one thing so they will remember what I'm saying. So they beat on a pan or something like that. Well, this is one of these times. We need to look at this. It's so fascinating. And we're talking about grace. We're talking about James 4, 6. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13 gives us the biblical definition of grace. Now we got the Strong's Concordance. Praise Jesus. Y'all can run out and buy you one or get one online. But the biblical definition of grace is in Philippians 2:13. Totally. And, drum roll, beat the pans together. It's imperative that you make a note in your Bible identifying 2:13 is the definition of grace. If you love Jesus, you will underline Philippians 2:13. If you're any kind of a Christian, you will underline 2:13, Philippians 13. If you even like me a little bit, you will underline Philippians 2:13. Is there anything else I could do? Would you like me to move on? Okay. Philippians 2:13. It's imperative. And here is the definition of grace. Philippians 2:13. Overhead. It is God who works in you both to will, see in the parentheses, desire. He's working a desire in you. It is God who works in you both to will and to work. God gives power. God gives power. It is God who works in you both to will, to desire, to work, to give you power for his good pleasure. God gives you grace for his good pleasure. Y'all with me? He gives you, you have two things going here. Sometimes you just don't have the want to do anything. You don't have the will to do anything. You don't have the will to live the Christian life. Or you suck it up and live the Christian life, whatever your theology may be. But here it says God gives you the will. Here it says God gives you the want to. And you know what that tells me? There is no way under God's heaven I could ever give you the want to. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. The only way you can have the want to is for God to come and touch you, and he'll give you the want to. By the way, for me to have the want to, God has to come down and touch me and give me the want to. You see what? Well, okay, that's a want to. I just don't have the energy. Don't have the time. Don't want to do it. Well, he also gives you the desire. Then he gives you the power. The power. That word, now this is interesting, the Greek word, it's work, like, okay, you work, okay, it means put energy forth. Now that's work, but to put energy forth puts a little different. He gives you the will, and then he puts in you to put energy forth. I want God's grace. Then you'll have his will to put, and he'll put energy forth to do what he says. That's not just favor. That's not just favor. It's a misinterpretation of favor. It's a misinterpretation of biblical grace. It's a misinterpretation. And, you know, I've listened to a lot of preachers talk about grace, and my first thought is, you don't have a clue what grace means. They just talk about favor. There's no power, therefore it's fluff. It's just fluff. Yeah. So, here we are. It is God who works in you. I want every word is important. It is God who works in you. Now, what he's going to do in you? Both to will, give you the desire. He's going to work in you to give you the desire, and to work, give you the energy. It is God who works in you to give you the desire and give you the power for his good pleasure. He has a purpose. He has a purpose. It's his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure. Fascinating. When you look at this, it's imperative that you insert this definition wherever you see the word grace in your Bible. Put it, this definition there. Philippians 2:13, just put it in there. Now, let's shorten it. I'll just shorten it. I shorten it. This is my short. You know, when I look at grace, I automatically think favor, power. I just read it. Favor, power. Favor, power. That's just, you know, in my mind, I translate that every time I read that. Now, I'm going to say something. I was trying to think of a Christian way to say this, and I can't. So I'm just going to throw it out there, and you go, well, unless you shouldn't have said that. All right? But you won't forget it. Okay, and that's my key, is you don't forget it. You wish I hadn't said it, but you won't forget it. You know? Just to emphasize, all right? You want to be the smartest one in your Bible study? You want to be the smartest one in the room? Use Philippians 2:13 as grace. Because 95% of the people you're talking to won't know. You want to be the smartest one in the room? Remember Philippians 2:13. You want to be the smartest one interpreting your scripture? Remember Philippians 13. Some of the most difficult verses, a couple of them in James, some of the most difficult verses can be translated by applying Philippians 2:13. See, what people do, we get the most difficult verse we can think of. We roll it around. And so, but the best way to do is get the verses that you understand most clearly and then use that as a foundation to interpret difficult verses. So you know Philippians 2:13, then you can interpret difficult verses. And you come back, that is that foundation. And by the way, that's what you're supposed to do. Okay, do y'all forgive me? All right, I preached that Jesus would never tell you, you want to be the smartest one in the room. This is what you, okay. But I didn't know what else to say. But you will be, just let you know. You will be. And if people there disagree with you, it's because they don't understand the Bible and haven't read it. See, there I did it again. Okay, so y'all take it, put it in your pocket, and interpret that, and please don't rebuke me after the message. You know, my feelings do get hurt. All right. So we can shorten this to favor and power. Grace. Now here is, I put it up, there's an overhead here. Here's the expanded translation of Philippians 2:13. Philippians, and this is huge. I mean, in your Christian life, this is huge. If you want to be different than the world, it is huge. Here's the expanded translation. First off, it is God. Pause. Who is it? How much did you have to do with that? See, your little gods want to be part of it. You do. You're just little gods, and you want to be a part of what God's doing. And you can say, look at me. He couldn't have done without me. He goes, no, let me share. It is God. It is God. So, here we go. It is God who works in us. So God, it is God. So he's in us working. See, we're just not cutting it. So it's God in, this is believers. Believe. It is God who works in us both to will. He gives us the will. He gives us the will. It's not his will. He gives us the will, his live. Okay? So, it is God who works in us both to give us the desire. He gives us the desire. I just don't have a desire. Serve Jesus. I just don't have a desire. Well, you don't have any grace. You don't have any of God's grace. You don't have a manifestation of any of God's grace. If you don't have the desire, see? Well, I have the desire, but I just don't want to. I came to this morning, I told her, I said, I don't want to get up and talk to those people. She goes, Dad, no, I had no energy. She said, no, you have God's energy, then you have the desire, and then you have the energy to carry it out. You have both of those. I hate it when people, and this is just funny, I think it's funny, people will come to me with ideas, okay? And they try to give it to me for my idea. They're trying to make me to have a desire to do their idea. I said, God spoke to you. He didn't speak to me. You know, I don't have the will to do that. You know. See, so God gives people the desire to do things. God gives people desire to serve him. To serve him. Then once he does that, he gives you the energy to carry it out. Now, I'm going to bring something, and it's so unique to me, but I'm going to bring it out because it's so true. Didn't know the Lord, I shared last week. People, Linda and I are really good, okay? We're really good. She knows all this, our interactions and stuff about our past, and I don't tell her all. I don't share all the bad stuff. I did, you know, so she wants the pulpit, and no way has that happened. Anyway, but the thing is this, one of the things that I saw in the script says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And what happened is the Lord, when I read that, he gave me the desire to do that. And it gave me the desire. Well, she wasn't cooperating. But he gave me desire, and when she wasn't cooperating, and I told him, she doesn't cooperate. And he goes, I will give you the energy anyway. He gave me grace. He gave me the desire. And I've had people say, how'd you do that? Well, because a human can't do that. Human can't do that. See, but he gave me the desire and then gave me the energy to do it. That's grace. Why? It says for his good pleasure. He's happy about it. God was happy about that. So it's the perfect picture. Look at it. It is God who works in us. Okay? You're not God. You're not God. You got a lot of stuff going on, but you're not God. It is God who works in you. Both to will, to give you the desire, and to work, to give you the power, literally, to put forth the power to do his good pleasure. He does it to you to please him. I mean, this is huge. Now, remember what we just left. We forgot where we started. He gives... Chain 4:6. He gives more grace. Oh, he's a little stingy. Give us a little stingy grace. He, no, I give you more. I'll just give it to you. I'm going to give you more grace. It says, I oppose the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Oppose the proud. So, you see this working together here. Now, the reason I spend a lot of time with this, because I personally believe that there's many erroneous Christian views of grace. I swear, I know a handful of people that talk to me, believers, you know, that know what grace is. Oh, it's just favor. I have yet, maybe, that I've talked to anybody what grace is to ever use the word power. Just favor. Favor is fluff covering sin. Because the definition of grace is wrong. Look at the Strong Concordance. Look at Philippians 2:13. I told you, you're the smartest people in the room. You are. Just have it there. You know. The most difficult verses to interpret, you pull those out and they start making sense. Because it's something that God does through you to accomplish what he wants. Amen? Isn't this fun? It's fun for me. Okay, so here we are. Grace is not passive, but active with all the power of God. God breathes his grace into us to accomplish his purpose. How can I do this, guys? That's how you do it. He gives you the will, and he gives you the power. And I use this again, and Linda loves to use it. I said, Linda's not cooperating with me. He goes, that has nothing to do with what I'm doing with you. Who cares if she cooperates? I told you what to do. And then he worked his good pleasure because I was obedient to him on what he told me to do. See, this makes sense. Makes sense. So, grace is not passive, but active. God breathes his grace into us. Now listen closely to Titus 2:11, verse 12. I tell you what, pay close attention. Y'all pay really, 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 really close attention. I'll do the routine again. Get Rich to do his drums, get up here, dance, beat a pan. Look at this. What does grace mean? What does it mean? You know, what does it mean? The Bible is interpreting itself. Pay attention. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. People are misled. They don't read the Bible. Read the Bible. Titus 2:11 and 12. Look at this. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age. And all God's people said, listen to what Titus said. I'm just going to squeeze it together here. Titus said, the grace of God has appeared, training us. The grace of God has appeared. Skip the training. The grace of God has appeared, training us. Oh, you're just getting a bunch of favor. Just do whatever. I'm just throw favor at you. No, that's not grace. It's power. And the power, and he gives the power, and he trains us to do what he wants us to do. It's power training us. Grace trains us. Grace trains us. We're saved by grace. Grace trains us. It didn't stop there. He trains us. He said, oh man, I can't make it. God, I don't want to do. Ask for more grace. And I'll train you some more. Ask for some more. And I'll train you some more. See, he gives more grace. The grace of God. Now, read the every single word. The grace of God has appeared to train us. That's why we have it. That's why we have it. He trains us not to do all those other stuff. See, now what we do, if you're a legalist, you go, I'm not doing all that other stuff. I'm going to watch you. And when I finish, I'm going to show you I didn't do all that stuff. Look at me. Excuse me, but this is not what God says. God says, grace trains you. And from in, gosh, God trains you. And you don't want to do those things. Legalists try and don't. Those under grace don't want to. They have the will not to. And they have the power not to. Do you see the difference? And that's the reason the Apostle Paul says the law is dead. The law is an anathema. The law separates you from Christ. He didn't say that about sin. He says it's about the law. See, because we live by grace. We don't want to, and he gives us power not to. Trains us. It trains us. Oh my goodness. The grace of God is the power of God that trains us. It is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in our life that trains us to receive more. And so we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is more stuff is coming. He said, just ask for more grace, more power, more. I'll give it to you. Just ask. Just ask. And so we need more to make it through life. We think we're making it through life, and more stuff comes and says, oh my God, how am I going to make it? He goes, you receive more grace. Anybody here want to guess how you receive more grace? This is a difficult one. Anybody, go ahead. I mean, come on, anybody's not. You ask. You ask. And the Bible has, where do you go to ask? Now, I'm leading you on. I mean, I had heads up. I read ahead of you. Okay. Where do you go to ask? The funniest place. Really interesting. The Bible says you go to the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Of all the things. Where you ask for grace? Here. Throne of grace. Look at you, if you will. You make a decision. I can't do it. You ever done that? I'm going to die. I don't have the will. I don't have the power. God, I just want to quit. He's, you need more grace. You need to go to the throne of grace. You make a decision to ask, and you go back to the throne of grace. You spend a lot of time going back and forth to the throne of grace. Look at Hebrews 4:16. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace, power, that we may receive grace, power, for what? For what? The reason I'm doing this, well, I don't know what to do and how you do it and how you get there. Yes, you know. Throne of grace. We may receive mercy. Do you know what mercy is? Not getting what you're supposed to get. God, I'm before your throne and I don't want what I'm supposed to get. Okay, so that's mercy. But so you go to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find power. Look at this. This is important. This is important. It says to help in time of need. What do you do when just everything blows up in front of you? I can't survive. I don't know how to do this. You go to the throne of grace, and you receive power in your time of need. Specific. That means you ask for something specifically, and he specifically gives you power, the will, and the power in your time of need. Problems answered. Problems taken care of. It's a done deal. Now, I want to tell you, it's not easy. You know what I say? And I get, love you, darling. I bring you. God said, look, he said, love your wife like Christ loved the church. You have got to be, Lord Jesus, you got to be out of your holy mind. What are you doing? It's too much. He goes, no, I will give you the will, the desire, and then I will give you the power. And it's all about you. Do you have the desire? Do you have the power? I'll give you the will and the power. And then you do it for my good pleasure. I'll take care of the circumstances. You just do what I ask you. So sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's really hard. But you see, but here's in the scripture, the grace of God appeared. Why? To train us. Not just to have favor over us in our sin. He is training in us. He's in us. And he says, training us, I can't do this. Then go before the throne of grace. That's Jesus. That's God's throne. He just wanted to make you know what's going on up there. That's all he called it, throne of grace, God's throne. You know. And he will give you desire and power to help in time of need. This is how we get through this world. This is how we get through this world. It's by God's grace, God's empowerment. It's by God's grace we get through this world. Biblical truth. We go before the throne of grace. Why? To receive more power. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Oh, Wallace, you can't say that. You can't get more power. The Bible says it. You go before the throne of grace and you get more power. He says you get more grace. Well, I just want more favor so I can plug along in my sin. Just give me favor. He goes, no, I give you power to get out. I'm going to give you power, a will to get out, and the power to get out. See, so the combination here, to receive more power, to help in our time of need, that's why we go to the throne of grace. God, I need your grace. I need more grace. I need more people, like more of you. You know, but the Bible says, no, you can ask that. You can ask more of you, more of your power, God. In fact, he tells us specifically ask that. That's the reason we should read the Bible. We should read the Bible. There is a throne of grace, and God breathes his power onto us. Now, personally, it's a little Wally-ism, okay? But I use it. I like it. Personally, I think of grace. When I think of grace, this is my term for grace. I think of grace as this, violent grace. That's what I believe in, is violent grace. Well, wait a minute. You shouldn't say it's violent. No, that's what I want. I want violent grace. I want grace that's turning the world upside down. I want violent grace, God. I want you to do to me whatever is necessary. Give me wisdom, whatever is necessary. Give me the power, whatever. Violent grace. Now, I'm sure y'all have a better term, but that's just my term. Violent grace. And violent grace does stuff. Does stuff. And the thing of it is, with violent grace, we must deny. Now, that's my term. That's not biblical. I'm not going to find it anywhere in the Bible. All right. But violent grace. See, it's all the fullness of the creative power of God working is what violent grace does. You know, I just think of God creation. And this is how, in my mind, God goes, he created, and he goes, created the stars. You know, I think, oh, man, that was powerful. You know, oh, you were like, oh, there's a little star. Hey, Gabriel, wasn't that cute? Cute little star. Let's get another one. No, he went, oh, boom. And then all the angels felt, oh, my God, look what happened. It's violent to me. That's what I call violent anyway. So, therefore, we must deny Christ to resist it. The other side of the coin. You can resist it, but you have to deny everything of Christ to resist it. Say you're still saved. I mean, we don't lose our salvation. You're in, okay? And you say, God, I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to do it. You just train on somebody else, you know. You do somebody else's. I just want you this. Leave me alone. I won't just suffer along in my sin, you know. And the Bible tells you, and not like this, but he tells you, God goes like this. He goes, okay. Do you know what? How God, he lets you have what you want. He goes, okay. See, and then there's no power working on this earth. And then this is, we have Christians, well, I can't. This is terrible. It's not working. God's not working. He's not worth following. Yes, I'm going to heaven, but he's not worth living for here like that. Because they never received God's grace. Never went before the throne of grace. Never were willing to pay the price of what he told them to do. See? So, we must deny Christ. Still say to resist his grace. Because he's given it. He's given it. We're resisting. We're resisting his grace. And it talks about resisting the grace of God. So when we're, okay, I got, when we humble ourselves and submit to God, he gives us more grace and more power. Amen? There's something else he does. And he exalts us. Exalts us. He gives us, we humble ourselves, we submit to God, he gives us more power and exalts us. Interesting. Again, pay attention, read the Bible. Pay attention and read the Bible. We want the Bible to say what we want it to say. No, just pay attention and read what it says. Do what he says, see what God's doing. James 4:10. Look at James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is not going to work, God, and I know what you're telling me to do. There's no way in God's green earth this is going to work. No, not happening. Not happening. No, you submit yourself to me, and I will exalt you. Biblical, now here's a term we should look at, and it's important. It says, humble yourself. Biblical humility, there's good definitions for humility. I want to give you a working definition of humility. Biblical humility is recognizing we can't accomplish God's purposes ourselves, but that God alone can accomplish what he desires. That's humility. That's humility. Let's put it short. Humility is, I can't, God can. That's humility. Okay, you do whatever you want to with it, you know, put on a funny hat and sackcloth and, you know, whip yourself with the back, you know, like that, and that's called the humility. That's not biblical humility. Biblical humility is, I can, but God can't. It's it. That's it. And nothing else. Nothing else. But that we recognize it. But that we recognize it. Therefore, when we acknowledge we can't, but God can, God gives us more grace and exalts us. Now, a lot of men, people don't want to do that. I got to say I can't before I get God's power and before he exalts me. Yep, that's exactly what you got to do. That's exactly what you got to do. And he'll bring one disaster after another to get you to a point that one day you'll say it. God, I can't. I'm done. I can't. He'll go, finally, my God, it took 10 years. But, you know, he says, got it. All right. You see what I'm saying? I mean, so he'll outlast you. He really outlasts you. Okay? And it's like all he wants, and he wants us to say, we can't, but God can. Therefore, we see God gives more grace. He gives more power to the humble. You say, I can't, you can't. It's okay, I give you. I give you the will and I give you the power. Oh, wow, wait. Holy cow, there's a party in heaven. They even talk about that, like, oh, the angels rejoicing. It's like, wow, did you see that? You know, like that. And then he will, in that humility, then he will exalt you. See? He will exalt you. And the people that really know it is we. We know when that happens. See? But you come, I can't, but God can. Okay. That doesn't mean you don't work hard at your job, okay? Because he tells you to work. But this is talking about something else, people. So look at 1 Peter 5:5. God opposes the proud, but give grace to the humble. That's it. Same thing. A humble. I can't. God can't. Okay, I give you power. He opposes the proud. What is the proud? I can. Don't need you. See, he opposes that. Humble yourselves before the Lord. He will not only give you power, but he also will exalt you. This is how God works. Pay attention. Read the Bible. 1 Peter 5, 6, 7. Fascinating. Now, using all these definitions, you know, you look at this, you read it, it's important. Every word is important. There's no throwaway words in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 7. Humble yourselves. I can't. God can. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. See who you're fighting against when you don't humble yourself? You're fighting against God. You're fighting against God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Now, taking out all my little flippant comments, which may be difficult, just try to take all those flippant comments I made, you know, probably unnecessary. What God is telling us so clearly is we say, well, we can't, but God can. He says, what he will do, he says, now what I do, you come to me, and he says, I'll give you the will, I'll put a will in you to do what I want you to do, and I'll come and I'll put the power in you to do the will and the desire I put in you. Amen? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And then he adds at the end, and you do that, and I'll exalt you. And it says, that's my good pleasure. I want that. I want good pleasure. My good pleasure. It's my good pleasure to give you the will and the power and to exist. It's my good pleasure to do that. So, I mean, bottom line, that's it. Bottom line. And that's what God, he's trying to tell each one of us. He's doing each one of us the same thing. Now, I'm going to put a summary. I just put the how. You know, people, well, how you do it? It's really simple, the how. I want to summarize how we receive the power of God with his promise to exalt us. How? How? You ready? How? We ask. We say, we can, but you can. We want something difficult. You know, we want something really difficult. He says, humble yourself. That's what he says. That means, I can't, but God can. See, that's in our mind to understand how God works. Now, we're not out someplace by ourselves. Oh, I can't. Nobody can. No, we're standing before the mighty God, or the Creator, and wants to move in our life, wants to breathe power upon us. So we're not doing that. Okay, God, I can. You can. You give me your power. You give me your will and your power to do what you want to. And he says he's pleased and says he exalts us. That's it. That's biblically, that's all it is. And then we should add, I don't, you know, we shouldn't have to add it, but what we're doing when we say, you know, we can't, but you can't, we're listening to him. We're listening to him. By the way, folks, if you're not reading your Bible, you ain't hearing much. That's up to you. That's up to you, you know. But you need to read it because he speaks through his Bible. So we need to listen to him. God, I can't, but you can. I just want to serve you. Show me. Okay, then you listen. And the verse I love for this, we go to the throne of grace. And by the way, at the throne of grace, what do? So you ask. Well, I couldn't ask God. Then don't get nothing. He says, ask. He specifically says, ask for everything. Anyway, verse I love you. We can't. God, you can. We listen to him. Even back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 66:2 said, God speaking, he goes, but this is the one to whom I look. Y'all see what it said? Who's God looking at? This is the one. I'm looking down. This is the one to whom I look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Some of us has never trembled because we never read it. And some of us read it and trembled and say, I ain't reading it again. He's like, holy cow. You know. But he said, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. The Bible. I was listening to Nikki Gumbel. Have you ever said, he does alpha. And we all have done this. I'm sure. I said, God, just speak to me. You speak to me. You know, of course, I want him to sit down and, you know, sit down, have a cup of coffee and tell me what to do. You know, it hadn't happened yet like that. But Nikki Gumbel, I says, ever watch it? I mean, this is just the truth. I can't believe he said it and acted like I didn't know it. He said, listen, people always holler out and say, God, speak to me. And he said, he does. He gave us the Bible. I said, now that was convicting. You know, so he is speaking to us. He is speaking to us. But you got to read it. You got to come in to him and read it. But this is hard. Just read it till he tells you something. He didn't say understand the whole thing. He said just read it. Just read it. See, this is the one to whom I will look. God, who are you looking at? Let me tell you. It is he who is humble. I can't, but you can, so I'm trying to find out what's going on. He who is humble and contrite in spirit. You know what contrite means? You look at these words. It's crushed. Then no options. And trembles at my word. Oh, my God. And I can do it. Wallace, love your wife like Christ, love the church. Oh, my God. I double trembled. I trembled at him and having to deal with Linda. I said, oh, my God. I had a double tremble. See? You got to be kidding me. Of all the things. Love her like Christ loved the church. We'll see how Christ loved the church. Look over here. He died for her. Shoot. I mean, there's no slack. I'm like trembling at the word. See? And he goes, that's who I'm looking at. Seeing what you'll do. I'm looking at, I see what you're doing. And my prayer was, dear God, change that woman. Never happened. Don't tell me God didn't answer prayers. Never happened. Okay. She came closer to Christ, you know. But he showed that the problem that he was working with me, was me. The problem was with me. And I went to Linda, and I told her, God showed me the problem was with me. She said, I knew that. Y'all see what I'm saying? Okay, but it's, in one sense, it's not hard. We just don't want to do it. We just flat don't want to do it. God, I need more grace, the will, and to put forth the power. Well, praise God. Let us go before the throne of grace and receive more grace. Now let's close with this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now put all this, combine all of this, what we just said, force it back into this word. For our sake he made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become as right as God with power. That's what it says. Now, some people say, no, righteous enough. We become as right as God. And he means with power. Did God have power? He said, with power. Well, how do we get God's power? We humble ourselves to him, and he gives us a will, a desire to work forth power for him, for his pleasure. Isn't that good? I'll tell you what. Take Philippians 2:13 and 2 Corinthians 5:21, and you'll become, now This is a Wally-ism. Okay, you can delete this. You take Philippians 2:13, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and you will become a Bible scholar. You will become a Bible scholar, and you will never get off the track. Use those two verses to interpret the rest of Scripture. You'll be solid as a rock. And the power of God working through you. Amen? Wasn't this fun? Grace of God. The grace of God. Philippians 2:13. It's favor and power. And power. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, I mean, it's unbelievable. You look and give us these verses, and we look and study them, and what you're telling us, and what how you're looking at us, how you're speaking to us to show forth your power. And we thank you for that. You desire to exalt us. You desire to see us empowered by you. That's your heart's desire. You are our teacher. You are our teacher. So we give thanks to you and give honor in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.